Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I know I preached from Romans 8 last week, but I didn't get through. I only got to verse 4. So Romans 8, we'll begin with verse 5. Great chapter. Amen. And I want to talk to you this morning about the set mind. You know, people set their minds to do this, that, and the other. And so it's good that you want God to be in control of your mind, because the mind can just wander anywhere and everywhere. But I believe this bears out in our scriptures today that we need to have our minds set up on godly things. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh... And the flesh is the sinful nature of mankind. And that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Father, I thank you for your word today, and thank you for your presence. Pray that your Holy Spirit anoint your servant, anoint us here to receive what you have for us today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The set mind. All sinful things begin with a sinful carnal mind. Bad things do. Wars begin in the sinful carnal mind. Let me give you an example. I know you've heard the news, so I'm not here to do a newscast, but I just want to take this for an example. Vladimir Putin. Desire in his mind is to make Russia back into communism, into a Russia and a communism that kills, tortures, enslaves Christians, and promotes cruelty, and that rules by force. And that is the example of a sinful, carnal mind at work. But the Bible says we're not in the flesh, and the flesh simply speaks of the sin nature, and that is the tendency to do wrong instead of right. You see this, it's not just in older people, it's not just in mature people, it's in kids and senior mature people, and everybody. You can see a kid, if you say, tell a kid you can't do that, well, he's determined to do just what you told him not to do, because that's the flesh, that's a sin nature, and we're all born in that. And so, we need to set our mind upon the things of God and let God take charge of what we're of our thinking and our mind. Okay, today society wants to do that which is against the natural, which is against the spiritual thing. They want us to see things that are an abomination to God as natural. And the attempt to drive racism into teaching of our children, that is the carnal mind, are to drive us to make us think that gay people are just normal. And I tell you, God can save gay people, and God has, and God did in the Bible. But he didn't save us so we could remain the same. He saved us so we could be delivered from those things that God hates. So let's set our mind on things above. The set mind. Verse 5, it says, those who live according to the flesh, I've explained to you what the flesh is, a sinful nature, they set their minds on the things of the sinful nature, the flesh. Okay? And so, what do people think about most of the time? You can tell what people think about by what they want to talk about most of the time. It may be sports and politics and money, and that's not sinful. I worked with a guy one time. He was so into fishing. And on his job there, he was there for 8 hours. He would sit there on his job and pretend he was casting his rod and reel out in the water. And, you know, he wasn't a kid. He was a grown man. He's older than me then, and I was 20s then. But anyway, that's what he was wrapped up in. He was wrapped up in the here and the now, not the eternal. I went to college with a boy named Lee Beadle. good guy and was very successful after he got out of college and got to, but he was a walking book of sports history. He could tell you things, and I said, who was the coach for the then Houston Oilers? He said, Bum Phillips. Okay? I don't know why on earth anybody named their kid Bum. I've met a few, but anyway. But he could give you history and of coaches and players. He was a dictionary of sports. But sadly, people set their minds on sinful things, and he wasn't sinful. I'm not saying that. But people live for the thrill of the moment, thoughts of revenge and destruction. And people dwell on those things and let their mind be controlled by things that are ungodly, and it causes them to live ungodly lives. And many people have little time for spiritual things, such as preparing for eternity. And people think little about their soul until it comes to the time where they're sick and they know that this is it and you're going to die just like you are. And people get serious about spiritual things then. But we need to get serious now. And it thrills my heart to see young people get serious about spiritual things. God bless you. That's the right thing to do. To prepare for eternity. And there was a time when Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing that when he got there, he would give his life, he would suffer the most cruel, ungodly, painful death, a way of execution ever invented by sinful mankind, that was crucifixion. But yet he knew it was in the will of God, the Father, his Father in heaven, to suffer for my sin, for yours, to bear the death penalty for my sin and yours. And that's what our sin called for in the righteousness and the justice of God. Amen. And so Jesus went. The Bible says he set his face to go toward Jerusalem. This was even prophesied 700 years or so before Jesus came. Psalms in the Isaiah 50 and 7, it says, I've set my face like a flint, nothing unwavering. He would go to Jerusalem. He would accomplish the will of God. Nothing would stop him. He had his mind set for your salvation, for mine, for my eternity, for your eternity. He had his mind set. Amen. He was going to go there and suffer for our sins and there be die for our sins and then raised again the third day and be rise again and give us conquer death and give us eternal life. Because God had his mind set, or Jesus had his mind set on what he was supposed to do, what his goal, what his purpose was for coming into this world. The set mind. Let's look at the believer's mindset. We shouldn't think about that those who set their mind on things of the natural things are notoriously sinners. Not necessarily. There may be noble people who have good intentions. And the Apostle Peter meant well when he told Jesus to avoid the cross. He said, Lord, this will never happen to you. You can't go to the cross. You're not supposed to die and suffer for our sins. And Jesus rebuked him and even he said, get behind me, Satan. He said that to Peter, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things which be of man. And so he realized that the spirit of darkness and the enemy was behind that saying that he shouldn't go to the cross, because he would go to the cross. And so the believer's mindset should be this, you know, to repent and to change. Repentance means to change your mind about something, to change, which refers to changing your behavior. You can't just say, well, I know it's sin, but I enjoy it, so I'm going to do it anyway. No. Repentance means to change your mind and change your behavior, make choices for the truth instead of what is false. To change what sin has done and what it will do. That's what Jesus wants to came to do. He looked in horror at what sin was doing to his creation, and he made a way for us to be redeemed from it, to be purchased from it. God saw the filth and the heartache and the pain that sin leaves people in, and it was in God's plan and God's will to deliver people from that and to set people free so they wouldn't suffer the consequences of a life of sin. Hallelujah. So we believe the believer's mindset should be that we live according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and what God says in His Word. Praise the Lord. We must set our mind to live for God no matter what. You say, well, I don't want to just set my mind. You better set your mind to live for God, regardless of what happens, what trials you may go through, what explanations of why God did this or why God did that. God gets blamed for a lot of things he had nothing to do with. But Jesus said, no man having set his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. My friend, if you'll get a hold of Jesus and walk with him, stay with him, my friend, he'll make you fit for the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And so the world, and so we set our minds on the good news instead of the news that brings no hope, no strength for life. Things that will not benefit the kingdom of God, but we set our minds to do those things that are going to benefit the kingdom of God. And I can tell you the devil works from mind control of people. False religions is one way he does that. You know, some people say that any religion's okay, all religions lead to the same heaven. Now, I'll tell you something, religion by itself leads to the same hell. It takes a relationship with God, being born again. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. You got to come God's way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way, the only way, one way. Praise the Lord. Years ago, in the 70s, I believe it was, cult leader Jim Jones. I went to college with a guy named Jim Jones. It was a different Jim Jones. He didn't like his name for some reason. Anyway, this cult leader, Jim Jones, through mind control, was responsible for the largest mass murder-suicide event in history. This cult leader convinced over 900 people to kill themselves by the way of cyanide poisoning before he allegedly shot people. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to control your mind. He doesn't want you to have a mind set on the truth and set on Christ. He wants your mind to be set on evil. And so the mind that people have many times can cause awful things to happen, because you see, sin is conceived in the mind and pushed over and over in the mind until it becomes something that people do. It becomes action instead of just thoughts. And the carnal mind is centered on sinful things. Sinful thoughts become sinful actions. They begin in the mind. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, we don't really like to read this portion. We'd rather start with verse 22. But chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 19, tells about the works of the flesh. And let me ask you this. When I read these lists of things, tell me how any of this is going to benefit you at all. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Is that going to help you? Fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Any of those things going to help you? Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. My friend, though the pursuit of those things never brings happiness, never brings peace, never brings satisfaction, they become the rule of your life and they become your mindset. I'm going to see who I can hate. I'm going to see jealousy. I'm going to see how many times I can get angry. All those type of things, they become a person's life. The good news is the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. My friend, I want to be in pursuit and have our minds set on things that will bring love and joy and peace and hope and long-suffering and self-control. Praise the Lord. Many people are out to have no self-control, out of control. That's a work of the flesh. But we need to know that God wants us to be in control. Actually, He wants Jesus to be in your mindset so that He is in control of your life. Praise the Lord. So none of these things that I read, the works of the flesh here, can bring calmness, peace, hope, love, or life. They only bring death and destruction. None of these things lead to hope or eternal life. Instead, those things that we've mentioned there lead to eternal separation from God. And you don't want to be separated from God ever. Not in this life, and you sure don't want to be eternally separated from God. In the book of James, the book of James is one that is right to the point. James leaves nothing unsaid. He wouldn't get voted in as pastor in most churches. But James 4:4, he says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world, that means the sinful system of the world, is enmity against God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So there's no wiggle room in that verse. If you're in love with sinful things, you're not in love with God. And God hates the carnal mind because he knows what harm it brings people. That it destroys the soul. And many times, you know, pastors and preachers and evangelists, whatever, they've been accused of being too hard on people and preaching against sin and making everything a sin. And I'm not here to try to make things a sin that the Bible doesn't call sin. But I'm telling you something, sin destroys people's lives, and God loves you and I so much, he don't want things to enter our life that's going to be destructive to us. That's why he loves you. That's why he keeps his children, his people away from sinful things. That's why the natural person keeps a child, their child away from things that will hurt and harm them. It's not because they're trying to be cruel and mean, trying to keep them from getting hurt. And God loves us so much, he wants to keep us from sinful things. And it's because he loves us. In the future, the Antichrist will be known as the son of perdition or destruction. Perdition means destruction. And the Antichrist, you know, you don't have to try to figure out who he is. There are many anti-Christian things and anti-Christian people today. I've never tried to identify the Antichrist. Every time I pick one out, somebody shoots him. But the Antichrist will be known as the son of destruction. He will be a totally carnally minded man. He will be a man fully demon possessed. And so, you and I need to keep away from things that are anti-Christian or that do harm to the name of Christ. Those in pursuit of the sinful mind cannot please God. Verse 8 of our reading says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay? Cannot live a life pleasing to God. Jesus came to deliver us from the sinful mind, from the selfish mind, from a mind that plots sinful things. And let's look here at verse 6, a mind controlled by God. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Praise God. I would rather have life and peace than anything else. Spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what Jesus came to give. The mind that concentrates on such things as suicide as an answer to life's problems, there's many people, it's not an answer, it's a lie. God is in charge of life. Leave him in charge of life. But the mind concentrates on awful things. In the book of Mark chapter 5, we find that there was a man there that was full of the devil, demoniac, that said he went about, he lived in the tombs. He was always crying out and hollering out and cutting himself with stones. He wasn't in control of himself. He was possessed by evil spirits. When Jesus and their boat pulled up to shore, this man came running to Jesus. And Jesus was speaking to the demonic spirit inside this man and said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So the man was possessed with many demons. And so we know that what happened there, Jesus came, Jesus rebuked the spirits. They had to leave completely. And this man was no longer naked and running in the tombs and crying and cutting himself with stones. But the next find we find he was clothed and in his right mind sitting hearing Jesus. That's what God can do. Amen. He had all death things upon him, speaking carnal, sinful things. But at last he had life and peace because that's what Jesus did for him. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I prefer life and peace. Praise the Lord. And the believer must have his mind continually renewed. Paul spoke to the church at Rome and he says, "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind." Your mind has to be renewed. That's the reason we go to church 3 times a week. Some people do. Amen. Shame on you if you don't. It's not in my notes. I just thought I'd throw that in. But the renewing of your mind, and you renew your mind by reading God's Word, by praying, by seeking the face of God, it's something that you've got to do too. Not everybody can do it for you. You've got to get in. It's got to be a personal walk with God. Praise the Lord. And you choose that. Praise God. And so God wants us to be delivered from the carnal mind, from the way of thinking that's just sinful, what I can get away with. You can't get away from anything. God sees everything. But filling the mind with the truth of God's Word. I want to tell you, friend, we've got a future that you wouldn't trade anything for. You shouldn't trade anything for. We have a place that we can't see right now, but God in His Spirit makes us know it's real. It's a place called heaven, and God wants us to go there. And God has chosen, out of all of His creation, His eternity past, eternity future, He's chosen you to spend His eternity with Him. And then you say, well, what did I do to deserve that? You didn't do anything. I didn't do anything to deserve God's mercy and love and hope. But God loves you. God loves me. And God's will is that you spend your eternity with Him. Praise God. That's the way we want to spend forever. We want to leave this world, my friend, and to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the Bible says, comfort one another with these words. My friend, we're not only fighting a losing battle, we're on the winning side. Christ is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Amen. And like Abraham, we're looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. God has good news for us. The Bible says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. There's many things that we haven't seen yet. God knows. God has everything prepared for us. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. God knows all things. The Holy Spirit knows all things. He's God. Amen. And God wants you to share His eternity with Him. And so we renew our mind. Our mind controlled by God, set our mind on God. Let me just get down to home here, and you may call it meddling, but I'm just going to call it scripture. Yeah, well, you can renew your mind by listening to Christ-centered music, and you can find it on your radio or your television, or you can feel your mind with songs that talk about who got away with what and who you're going to kill for this and that and who's cheated on your wife and husband and all that. Or you can get yourself centered on Christ and music that talks about one day we're going to see Him. Amen. You can get your mind centered on, amen, on the blood of Christ, on heaven. Amen. And by seeking to be filled with God's Spirit, you know, God wants us to be continually filled with His Spirit. A lot of times we get on the Baptist for preaching once saved, always saved. But we're guilty of being once filled, always filled many times. God wants to refill you with His Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18 it says, do not be drunken with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things. You say, well, do I have a choice? Yes, you do. You may be at work or at places where things are they don't play the kind of music that's God-centered at all, but God can help you through that. I've been there. Amen. I've been in places where they played music and I listened anyway. Music gets a hold of me pretty strong, pretty easy. And so I had to battle through that. God, I don't want to think about this stuff that they're singing about. I want to think about You. And no matter how much I complain, they still play the same stuff. But when I was on my own, I had the choice of what to listen to. And when you have a choice, choose those things that will uplift you, that will encourage you spiritually. Amen. That will make you think about God in heaven, that make you rejoice for the salvation that God has brought you through. Amen. Given to you. And eternal things. Praise the Lord. Do you really want peace of mind? Then God tells you how. Amen. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, Y-A-H, Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. And this term for Lord here could be translated Rock of Ages. My friend, you want to be connected to the Rock of Ages. The old song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Set me free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you really want peace of mind? You need God to be in control of your mind. In Colossians chapter 3, it tells us there, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, meaning to the life of sin. You died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. That scripture refers to the rapture of the church. When Christ appears and calls us home, my friend, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. So let's set our mind on things above that mean something instead of the sinful things alone of the world. You take a look at the works of the flesh, you see that's all the devil has to offer you. It's things that are cause heartache, pain, and loss, and in the end, you don't get to enter eternity with God. You get to go to hell. I'll tell you what, I'm not interested in the devil's offer at all. I'm interested in God's offer. Jesus said, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. It's not easy to walk with God. It's not easy to live for God. But I want to tell you, it's much easier to walk with God and live for God than to suffer the consequences of sin. And God has sent His Holy Spirit, amen, that He might guide us, lead us, give us power over all the works of the enemy. And we can be victorious. My friend, you're not a failure. You're not going down the drain. You're not rushed off to the side somewhere or another. God loves you. God cares. God has sent His Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you and give you hope in a world that may not give you much hope. Hallelujah. The Bible says we're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.